All right, last week, let me just kind of break this down, and it'll kind of help us to get a general idea of where we were, where we are tonight. In the study of the Holy Spirit, the forgotten God, he's as important as the Son. He's as important as the Father. You cannot have one without the other. All three make up God. But in many ways, when I say the forgotten God, that could also be misunderstood. I'm not speaking about another God. I'm speaking about the same God. And we talked about how that in today's society, he's misunderstood. He's neglected. He's overemphasized in many ways. He's abused and misused in many ways. We looked last week at the person, the personhood of the Holy Spirit, and then the deity of the Holy Spirit. Okay? How he is a person. We talked about the scripture referring to the Holy Spirit as he, him. He's a person. But also referring to the Holy Spirit in deity as God, the divinity, the divineness of God. And we must keep that as the foundation when we study the Holy Spirit in the fullness of who he is, that he's a person, but he's fully God, no less God, fully God, just as important as the Son and the Father. And tonight, we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit acts pertaining to creation, pertaining to the Holy Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, pertaining to the devil, pertaining to Jesus Christ, and then lastly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how he acts upon believers, upon Christians. And I want you to really tune in because it's important as we study about the Holy Spirit and how he works pertaining to Christians, that I've even been asked one question tonight before. I said, we're covering that tonight, but if I don't cover it well enough, then we will answer your question. So hopefully we will get there. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 16. I want us to begin tonight by reading a text that we read a little of last week, John 16, where Jesus is speaking here and he's teaching his disciples about the role of the Holy Spirit and how he's going to act and what's going to be his responsibility in the life of these disciples, and that also means in my life and in your life. And I hope that you've been somewhat meditating and contemplating on what we covered last Sunday night to realize that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in every born again believer. He lives with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He comforts us. And we're going to cover a lot of these things, but there is such a presence of God with us that we as his children are never alone. Have you ever felt alone? I mean, have you ever felt deserted by everyone? That you just felt like you were totally alone? I think at some point we've all been there. But don't be deceived. If you are a child of God, you are not alone. So look with me in John 16. If you're able, I'd love for you to stand the reading of God's word. John 16, 7 through 14. John 16, 7 through 14. Jesus speaking here. And I want you to tune in to what he is saying about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's role and responsibility will be. John 16, 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Here's the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Whew, that's really good. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these powerful words, Lord. Lord, as we study tonight on He, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Teacher, the Guide, the Convictor, the Helper, of all these wonderful truths as we study the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that if there's one here tonight who does not know Him, I pray tonight you would resurrect, make alive, birth from above this one that they may be saved. Lord, for us who are your children, I pray they would we would love you more, study you more, learn of you more, long for you more, and then follow you more. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we begin tonight, if you were not here last Sunday night, here is the mode by which we will move. And I'll try not to move quite as quickly as I did last week, even though I can't stay in one place very long. When you hear me say the word blank, you'll know that that'll be your next word that'll go in the blank, okay? And are they on the slides, Brother Trey? I didn't ask you. They are? Okay. And so thank you so much for that, for doing that homework for me. And so tonight, let's begin with the ministries of the Holy Spirit. You should know what page number that is. Somebody help me out. What page number? Because I don't have that page. 10, page 10. All right, page 10, top of the page. Number one, concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit or the activity of the Holy Spirit, number one, concerning the blank universe. So when we speak about the Holy Spirit in creation, when we talk about the creation of all things, the role of the Holy Spirit was present. As the Father was present, the Son was present, the Holy Spirit present. So 1A, we see He is the co-creator along with the blank Father and Son. We cannot separate the work of God in anything when it comes to the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that tonight. Not only in just creation, but in every aspect of the work of God. Whether it has to do with creation, whether it has to do in the life of Christ, whether it has to do with the Christian's life, we're going to see that we have the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I won't be able to teach in depth on that, although your pastor has and he will, about the role of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in salvation. tonight we're only going to cover that latter part, the one we're on, the Holy Spirit. And so we find the work of the Holy Spirit as the co-creator along with the Father and the Son. 1C, he gave the blank order and beauty. Job 26:13. By his wind, the heavens were made fair. His hands pierced the fleeing serpent. So we find even in Job where he is stating about the Holy Spirit gave order and gave beauty to the creation. Psalms 19, I don't have time to go there and read that, but even the psalmist said the handiwork of the Spirit of God in creation. And so 1C, we see that he gave and he sustains life, blank life. Psalms 104:30, when you send forth your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. So not only did the Holy Spirit give life, but the Holy Spirit sustains life. Now, we're going to really dig into this a little more when we get over to the activity of the Holy Spirit pertaining to the devil and also pertaining to us in our lives. Not only has he initiated and given us life, but he sustains life. There is never a moment when God is idle or asleep. Listen, God the Holy Spirit is always present, and he's always at his fullness when he's present. In other words, there's never God half speed. There's never God at an idle speed. God is always fully at work, and I love that. I love that concept. Amen. And so let's look at this last one, 1D. He blank formed and gave life to man. He formed and gave life to man. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Job stated this, even in the Old Testament, that it is the Spirit of God that created us, that made us. Amen. But he is also the one that breathed life into us, and we became a living soul. Do you know that you and I exist today simply by the fact that God breathed on us? We're going to look at this more when we talk about the breath of the Holy Spirit. And so that's phenomenal when it comes to creation. And Job speaking about life given to man. And I don't want to go there. And I know your pastor's taught on Genesis. In fact, we were here several nights on that in wonderful teaching. But the role of the Holy Spirit in creation pertaining to man, it is absolutely essential to see. The Holy Spirit of God present, active in his work of creation. Number two. Concerning the scriptures, the blank scriptures. Oh, the holy word of God that we have today. He is the direct author of the Bible. 2B in mine, it may be B, it may not be in yours. Blank steps of the Holy Spirit are the steps of the Spirit in taking God's word from God to man. Now I'm going to give you three steps here, and you see these. You don't have a blank, so you should be able to follow along here. Number one, revelation. The transferring of God's word from God to man. So when we speak about revelation from God, we must speak from the holy word of God, because God has already revealed his word to man. Then you have inspiration. Number two, which is the transferring of God's word from man to scripture. God to man to scripture, and then illumination, the transferring of God's word from scripture to man. The first man is God to the prophets. The second, inspiration from the prophets to the paper, the Bible. Illumination is from the paper to our hearts. So what role does the Holy Spirit play today pertaining to the scripture? Understand this concept. It is not revelation. Why? God is not giving any more revelation. The books have been closed. We have 66. I'll show you that in a minute. We have 66 books in the Holy Word of God. The canon has been closed. There's no more addition. There's no more taking away. So there's no more revelation. Therefore, there's no more need for inspiration because the Scripture has already inspired writers, the prophets, to write it on paper. Only aspect of the Holy Spirit today pertaining to the Scripture is illumination. Is that the Holy Spirit would illuminate His written word, that the written word will become a living word in our hearts. That's the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God in my life and in your life. Listen, it's why it's so essential that we understand the aspect of the Holy Spirit pertaining to the Scripture. My dear brothers and sisters, this is not just another book. This is not the Reader's Digest. Listen, this is the Holy Word of God that came from God to prophets, that went from prophets to the paper. And now from the paper, it is absolutely expedient that we have the illumination of the Holy Spirit take the Scripture and engraft it into our hearts and into our lives. And if He does not do so, you and I will not understand it. We'll not understand the Word of God. Now be honest with God. Have you ever just read the Bible and you thought, well, I don't even know what I read? Come on now, let's be honest with God. Have you ever just sat down and read the Bible intentionally? You read it with the right motive and intent, but you read it, it was like your mind was over here or over yonder or at a sale in the mall or on a duck blind or in a deer stand. Come on, I don't need to be preaching. I need to be teaching. Y'all ever been there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, shake your head. I know something. That's why when we study and we listen to our pastors and teachers teach the Word of God, we need to pray, Holy Spirit, illuminate your Word in my heart and life. That's so, so important. He is so essential with the Scripture, with the Word of God. 2C, the Holy Spirit is the blank author of the New Testament. I'm just going to run through these because you got them there. According to David in 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, His Word is on my tongue. The Holy Spirit, according to the author of the New Testament, according to Isaiah 59:21, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Even according to Second Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is telling us that these biblical writers were not writing from the origination of their own personal thoughts, ideas, or conclusions. It was also according to Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we find that He is the author of the Old Testament, but D, the Holy Spirit is the author of the blank New Testament. Blank New Testament. One, according to blank Jesus. According to Jesus. John 14:25-26 says, these things have I spoken to you while I am with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Amen. He'll teach us all things. 2, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:13. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, let me just say this. In order for the Holy Spirit to teach a truth, it's got to be someone who is spiritual, someone who is born again, Someone who knows God, the Holy Spirit, who has an ear to what says, thus saith the Lord. You see, the Bible says that a lost person is blinded and deaf to the things of God. King James is ignorant of the things of God. And that's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher of all things to those who are spiritual, to those who are born again, to those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And Jesus said that many times in the seven churches in Revelation, as you recall. D2, according to blank Paul. I mean, I'm sorry, number three. I already said Paul. Number three, according to blank John. Number three, D3, according to blank John, Revelation 2:7. Here it is. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one he conquers, I'll grant to the eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Amen. So we find that John clarifies this, that the Holy Spirit is the author of the New Testament. What about number four? The Word of God is a gift of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Notice the inspiration here. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it means God breathed or breathed out by God. Every word of the Bible was breathed by the Holy Spirit into the minds of 40 redeemed sinners and written in 66 books. That is our Holy Bible. Both the Hebrew and the Greek word for spirit has the meaning of breath or the wind. Listen to a couple of passages. Ezekiel 37:9. Breathe. Remember the valley of the dry bones. Breathe on these slain that they may live. Holy Spirit, breathe on these. And then in John 3:8, you're probably very familiar with that. The wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we find that the word spirit here and the word wind and breath are interchangeable. They go together. The wind blows where it pleases to blow. The wind is sovereign, and no man controls the wind. God is in sovereign control of His Spirit. Amen. We learned that last week. We don't manipulate. We don't control the Holy Spirit. God does, and I'm grateful He does. Can you imagine what a mess we would make if we were in charge of the Holy Spirit? Let me state that again, and we'll move on. Can you imagine what it'd be like if you or I were in charge of the Holy Spirit and we commanded the Holy Spirit and He did what we told Him to do? Do you know that is a practice today? That is a practice that is common in America. I don't even know if I would choose the right word. Stupidity may be the kindest word I can use there. We do not control Him. He controls us. Wait a minute, Brother Craig, and we're going to get to this, but I want to make sure you understand my thought process, my heart tonight when I say this. What about passages that says, be you filled with the Holy Spirit? Aren't we in charge of the Holy Spirit there? No. You're misunderstanding the word, be you filled. That means a submissiveness, a surrender, a yielding is probably the proper word, a yielding of ourselves unto Him. Not that we change Him, He changes us as we yield to Him. So being filled is a yielding of ourselves to the authority of the Holy Spirit and Him changing us. And so please, and I say this as a word of caution, and your pastor can correct me anytime he wishes, but I say this as a word of caution. Be careful listening to anyone who commands or demands God the Holy Spirit to do anything. My advice to you, and he can correct me, my advice to you is turn them off. All right, number three. Concerning blank Israel. Israel. And we'll be there in 3 weeks. Woo-hoo-hoo. Israel. Amen. All right. Letter A. The Old Testament blank ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now pay careful attention, okay? Because I want you to not misunderstand some things I say that may be in your notes. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was not restricted to the saved or the spiritual. It even came upon Saul's soldiers, his servants, in 1 Samuel 19, 20 and 23. I'm just going to read one verse here. It says, then Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing his head over them, the Spirit of God came into the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So we find the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament even using those who were not saved. Does God have that authority? Well, listen to me. If God can use a donkey and speak through a donkey, y'all do believe that, huh? Amen. A donkey's not saved, is it? I don't find any donkeys in heaven, all right? Of course, not in this Bible that I read. And so, if God can use a donkey, he can use a lost person. I'll name a man. In fact, I'll name two men, and I've got to move on. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not saved. And yet did not God use him? It, Scripture says God hardened his heart, did it not? Am I correct in saying that? And of course, the New Testament, you probably already know that one, Judas. Judas was not saved. And did God use him? Yes. So we find that. So let's look at 3A2. Well, we see this already. That was not restricted to those. And so let's go to B. The Spirit came upon blank Israel's leaders, blank Israel's leaders and elders. Moved upon Joseph for wisdom, upon Moses and the 70 elders for leadership. The Holy Spirit moved upon Joshua for courage, upon Gideon for miraculous power, upon Samuel for physical power, upon David for godliness, upon Elijah for supernatural deliverance. The Spirit of God even led Israel through the desert. Let me ask you, were all of the Israelites born from above? No. So the activity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit pertaining to Israel is unique. It's really unique when we study that. But does God have that right? Yes. It was a fulfillment of the Word of God. Number four, the Spirit's ministry concerning the blank devil. The ministry of the Holy Spirit concerning the blank devil. He acts as a divine dam, holding back and limiting the full power of Satan and sin. I'm going to read you a few scripture, but to preface that, let me say this. It is God the Holy Spirit who restrains, who holds back, who limits the devil. The devil is not in a tug of war with God. Don't listen to that kind of teaching. God and God alone is sovereign. The devil is under his heel being crushed. Who does that sound like who's in charge? So how is the ministry of the Holy Spirit concerning the devil? B, as stated by blank Isaiah in opposing evil. Isaiah 59:19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. Letter C, 4C, as stated by blank Paul in restraining evil. 2 Thessalonians, listen to this, 2:7-9. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, that's Antichrist, the devil, Antichrist, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Here you find two. You find the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you find the devil and his power. And you see that the devil's power is limited to the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit. For even in the end time, the devil will be restrained in what he can do until God, the Holy Spirit, removes his restraining hand from the devil. I've heard some preachers say here this means the Holy Spirit leaves the presence of the earth. That is unbiblical. We studied last week about where shall you descend? Where shall you go from the Spirit of God? If you descend to the depths of the sea, God is there. If you ascend to the heights of heaven, God is there. If you make your bed in Sheol, God is there. Where can you go from the Spirit of God where he's not there? So we know here that it's the removal of the restraining hand of evil, the power of evil and wickedness, which is the devil. And that's stated by Paul. Let me ask you something, brothers and sisters. Just think with me. What if God sovereignly chose tonight for 1 hour, just 1 hour, say, I'm going to remove my restraining hand from the wicked one? Can you imagine chaos? You think you've seen wickedness in the Far East. You think you've seen wickedness with the slaughter in our schools and throughout our nation. There is no way to understand except you turn to Revelation, in which we hadn't got time to, but your pastor has taught through that, and just see a drop in the ocean of what would happen if God would remove his restraining hand from the wicked one. And you say, what is God doing for me today? What is God doing for us today? My brothers and sisters, God, the Holy Spirit, is restraining the evil one from us. Remember Job? Even with Job, he limited him what he could do. Oh, well, he told me I could spend a little more time, so I'm sorry there, but all right, number five. That's pertaining to the devil. Number five, the Spirit's ministry concerning the Savior, the blank Savior. We talking about Jesus Christ? 5a, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:35, you remember this. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Sinclair Ferguson, a great teacher, great teacher. I heard him say this a couple of months back as I was listening to him and prefacing for this study on the Holy Spirit. I heard him say that this one verse right here in Luke 1:35 about how the most holy one, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow Mary and she will be with child. He said that reflects back all the way to Genesis 1:1, where the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness, overshadowed the darkness. And that come to life and speaking to me about the ministry of the Holy Spirit pertaining to Jesus, our Savior. 5b, blank. He was anointed by the Spirit. Matthew 3:16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. See, sealed, blank, sealed by the Spirit. John 6:27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Amen. We're going to see more of that in the life of the believer. D, blank, led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. E, blank, empowered by the Spirit, Matthew 12:28. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. F, he was blank, filled by the Spirit, John 3:34. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Amen. G, blank, sorrowed by the Spirit. John 11:33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come unto her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. H, blank, rejoiced in the Spirit. Luke 10:21, in that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yea, Father, for such was your gracious will. And I, blank, raised from the dead by the Spirit. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to Jesus our Savior. Raised from the dead by the Spirit, Romans 1:4, and it was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we find already the ministries of the Holy Spirit pertaining to creation, to the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, pertaining to the devil. He is restraining evil and the wicked one, and then the ministry of the Holy Spirit even to our Savior. Amen. Well, take a moment and take a breath and think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit thus far in creation and with the Scripture. We have the precious Holy Word of God tonight because God the Holy Spirit moved upon men, redeemed sinners, 40 men, and they wrote it on papyrus, animal skins, and from that we find the illumination where it comes from the Scripture on paper to our hearts. Aren't you grateful for God the Holy Spirit? And then to know that the same Holy Spirit is active, has a ministry pertaining to Christians, to you and I. So the next few minutes we're going to look at what time we have, at the ministry of the Holy Spirit to Christians. And so not many blanks here, so you should be able to follow along and listen, I hope. Number one, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to Christians. Number one, blank, regeneration. Regeneration. That is a term that we don't hear much anymore. It used to be a term of old. It used to be a term that was heard of quite often. It was spoke of often. It was explained often. It was preached often. But you don't hear much preaching today on the regeneration of the Christian, the regenerated work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. So Titus 3:5 is the verse I gave you. It says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This word regeneration is found in the Holy Scripture. The definition means this: the act of God, whereby by a second birth, he recreates the believing sinner and gives him the nature of God. It is the act of God, not the act of man, not the act of the flesh. It is the act of God alone. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying about the work of the Holy Spirit. You were dead and lifeless and deaf and ignorant and blind and could not act. A dead man cannot act. There had to be an act, an action from someone outside of you. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this. The individual is the subject, and the Holy Spirit is the agent. The individual does not act, but is acted upon. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me." Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So is there a discrepancy between Jesus stating what the Father will do and what the Holy Spirit does? Remember what I said. You cannot separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said the Father will draw you, that means the Father is acting in the role of the Holy Spirit in the wooing and the drawing. It is simply mind-boggling to me, my brothers and sisters, when I contemplate this truth, that while I was a stench before Almighty God, the very best righteousness that I could ever produce for one millisecond was nothing but filthy rags. And yet He, God, the Holy Spirit, acted of Himself and came and brooded over me. And there was nothing seen or foreseen in me or no one else. It is the act of God pertaining to everyone who is born from above. Hallelujah to my God. Ooh, why should we praise Him? Why should we worship Him? Why should we adore Him? Why should we reverence Him? If you didn't get what I just said, then you don't understand that. The time is at the moment of salvation when the sinner is awakened to the glory of God and the depths of their sin. The benefits, I think I listed these in your notes. We die to sin and our old sin nature. We become a new creature and we walk in the newness of life. That is the evidence of regeneration. Amen. The work of God in a believer's life. Well, number two, blank baptism. This may be as far as we get. Baptism. Now, when I say baptism, I'm referring to spiritual baptism. I'm not referring to water baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So it tells you there clearly in two different places that this is a baptism, but it is clarified as a spiritual baptism. Okay. Now, there are many different views about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John Yates in the Faith Bible Institute that he teaches from Roland Road Baptist Church, Tammy and I took this years and years ago, and so I retrieved this from his notes just to kind of give you an idea of different thoughts about this spiritual baptism. Spiritual baptism. Number one, under B, is Wesleyan blank holiness view. Wesleyan holiness view. This is defined as the second work of grace, which eradicates the sin nature. The groups that hold to this are historic Methodist group. That's their position. Basically, the Methodist group. Number two, blank Pentecostal view. Blank Pentecostal view. I'm talking about spiritual baptism. It's defined as a second work of grace, which eradicates the sin nature and is necessary for salvation and is evidenced by speaking in tongues. The groups that hold this, United Pentecost, Apostolic Churches, Holiness Groups. Okay? Now, let me say this because I said this last week in the conclusion. In teaching this study on the Holy Spirit, I'm not trying to bash any religion. I'm trying to clarify what the Bible says, okay? And where we stand as Bible-believing Baptists, all right? For the most part, not all agree. Number three, blank charismatic view. Blank charismatic view. Defined as a second work of grace, which is necessary for the fullness of the Spirit and is evidenced by speaking in tongues or other supernatural manifestations. It does not eradicate the sin nature and is not necessary for salvation. The groups that hold to this are moderate Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, and full gospel churches. Four, talking about spiritual baptism, endued with blank power view. Endued with power view, defined as endued with special power on the seeking believer for the purpose of soul winning. For the purpose of soul winning. Held these who hold this, John R. Rice, some of y'all may know him, one of the independent believers of old, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, E.Y. Mullins, Matthew Henry, some of y'all know him, W.A. Criswell, who used to pastor at First Dallas, hold to this view of spiritual baptism being endued with power. Okay? Number five, blank universal church view. Universal church view. Definition, the act of the Holy Spirit in placing the believing sinner into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. This is held by C.I. Scofield, some of y'all have his study Bible, Wilmington, Reary, Walford, MacArthur, that's John MacArthur, H.A. Ironside, and lots of Southern Baptists. And I would probably say the majority of Southern Baptists hold to the universal church view of spiritual baptism. It is the act of the Holy Spirit, not a second work of grace. It is the act of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation where we are placed into the body of Jesus Christ. One fold, one shepherd, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Y'all got that, all right? And so that's kindly the view of most Southern Baptists. Number six, the blank universal baptism view. Universal baptism view, defined as the act of the Holy Spirit of joining the believer in spiritual union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection at the moment of salvation, placing the believer in Christ, but not in the universal church. So the only difference between four and five is one places it in the whole body, universal body, the other just not in the universal body, in the local church, okay? This is held by many Baptist groups, independent Baptists, lots of different Baptist groups hold to this view, all right? Number seven, the blank landmark view, blank landmark view, defined as the endowment with corporate power and unity among the church and place the church in vital union with the Holy Spirit. Every believer who becomes a part of the local church receives the benefit of this ministry. So that, again, is speaking about the local church held by Missionary Baptists, American Baptists, some Southern Baptists, and many other independent Baptists. All right, number eight, this is the last one, blank water baptism view. Water baptism view, the same as spiritual baptism view, defined occurs at the moment of water baptism. At the time of water baptism, they believe that spiritual baptism takes place. I hope you hear that. And this is held by Church of Christ, Episcopalians, many Lutherans, and this is the baptismal regeneration view. Now, this is held by those who believe you have to be immersed in the water, and it is not until the immersion of the water that you are spiritually baptized as you are water baptized. And if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. If you're not baptized with water, you're going to hell. Okay? So that's a water baptism view. Now, the blessings associated with the spiritual baptism is the power of the body of Christ for evangelism, unity in the body of Christ, and union with the body of Christ. And so there's many aspects of the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we are saved to belong to the body of Christ. Amen. All right. My time's up. And so we're going to stop there. And we're not through, you can tell. But the pastor said I could take a little bit more time explaining. And I did. And so we'll pick up right here with number three, the minister of the Holy Spirit pertaining to Christians, next Sunday night. All right? All right. Questions? Okay, the question that was asked of me earlier, and I hope I answered that to some degree, is what is the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life before they get saved? Did I answer that? I hope I did. That the Holy Spirit must act in salvation prior to us responding. Please remember this. Faith and repentance is a response to the act of God. It is the fruit, not the root in salvation. God is the root in salvation. Repentance and faith is the fruit, the evidence that something is acting upon us, someone. All right? Now, not only in the salvation of Christians, but I think you also heard tonight in the life of everyone, believers and unbelievers, that the role of the Holy Spirit restraining evil. What would be the consequence if God removed his restraining hand from the wicked one? It would not only be against Christians, it would be against non-Christians, right? So he has a ministry even when it pertains to those who are not his. That's mercy. Mercy. All right. Anything else? All right. Now, when we finish this last section on the Holy Spirit pertaining to Christians, then we're going to hit the ground running with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is probably where the Holy Spirit is most abused, misused, and misunderstood today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Permanent, temporary, speaking, sign. Remember those four terms. Permanent gifts of the Holy Spirit, temporary gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit, sign gifts of the Holy Spirit. That'll be important if you'll study that. Do your homework. All right. Thank you, Pastor. All yours. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come. I am delighted to come and to join you, and I can't wait till next Sunday night because we got some more good stuff there about the Holy Spirit.